be excited to go and look forward. Because very often we're despondent of what has happened in the past. We're despondent of what has happened in the previous year or in the previous years. And then we come to church and we sit here and we worship God. And we think very often that as people, when we come into this environment, when we come between the children of God, that everything needs to be right with me. The emotions and the feelings, the reality of life that I very often experience, that can't be true. Because when I look around, this is not how I see the people. But that is life. And that is the reality. But we as people have very often learned so, become so well at this that we can actually mask our feelings. We can mask what has happened in the past. We have become very good funeral undertakers. We can take what has happened in the past and we can go and bury it there where no one will ever see it again. Hiding it away. So that when people look at us, they need to see this happy, well, child of God. Because we think that is how it's supposed to be. I've just been reminded, as well as I was sitting there this morning, about Luke chapter 15 verse 8, which says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it?" Question this morning is, where did this woman lose the coin? Because these verses are written directly after the whole story about the lost sheep. And we know the lost sheep where the shepherd left the 99 to go and find the one. And it's such a nice evangelical outreach. Because we need to reach out. We need to go and find that lost sheep. And Jesus is looking for the lost sheep. But here, just in the very next verse, we have a woman losing a coin. Where did she lose the coin? Right there in the house. I want to say this morning to us that I believe the house represents the church. And very often we, you and me, can get lost right here in the church. We can be busy trying to bury that old things, that disappointments, that whatever it was, and in the process, we bury ourselves. Right here in the house. But the woman looked for that coin until she found it. And then she called her friends and they rejoiced. And I want to tell you this morning that as we're going to look at the Word of God this morning, I believe that God is going to speak to you through a very well-known portion of Scripture. I've entitled my message this morning, "The Great Exchange." And I want us to read out of John chapter 5, the first 9 verses. And it says, "Sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The scene that is being described to us here is actually an incredible one. There are so many people that were around this pool with needs and problems. And I think it must actually, to have gone there, it must actually have been a very depressing sight. Because of the great need of all the people lying there. People hopeless, people waiting just for that water to be stirred so that they can just move in. I can just imagine this massive pool with this five massive halls surrounding it. And there were so many, many sick people. Now, the name Bethesda this morning actually has got two opposing meanings. The one meaning is that it can be referred to as the house of grace or the house of mercy. But it also means shame and disgrace. Two meanings that are both very relevant but very opposing to each other. Mercy and grace because of the healings that took place there. But on the other hand, shame and disgrace because of the sick people just lying there. Imagine people lying, moaning, complaining, negative, crying. It must have been a bad place. It must have even smelled horrible. It must have looked horrible. Shame and disgrace was written all over it. And then there was this one poor guy who was lying there already for 38 years. Lying there in his shame and disgrace. No one to help him, no one to feed him, no one to encourage him. He was alone and without hope. I wonder why he came back every day for 38 years. He came back day after day. Maybe he got used to just doing that. That's what I do. I wake up this morning, someone will carry me there. And I'll just lie there. I'm useless in any way. I don't have friends. I've got nothing. I'll just lie here next to the pool in my shame and disgrace. And then Jesus goes there. And Jesus didn't go there by accident. He had actually no reason practically why he had to go there. Road didn't go through there. He was not sick. Jesus wasn't full of shame and disgrace. Jesus actually went to the town to attend a festival, to have a good time, a time of singing and eating and dancing and enjoying himself together with his disciples. But this is how our Lord and Savior is. He loves to seek out those who are worn down, those who are full of shame and disgrace, because he wants to replace their shame with his mercy, their disgrace with his grace. And I hope you heard that I said he wants to replace it. He does not want to cover it up. He doesn't just want to bury it this morning. He does not want to cover their shame with mercy. No, he wants to replace it with mercy. He does not want to cover their disgrace with his grace. No, he wants to replace it. Because for many people, I believe that this man who was there already for 38 years, going to the pool, maybe it was a way for him to cover up. To cover up what was happening in his life. To cover up his feelings, his emotions. To cover up his shame and his disgrace. He did not need Jesus to come and also cover it up. Because after 38 years, I think there was actually nothing else to hide anymore in his life. He faced it every day. Everyone knew him there. Everyone knew that he was in great need. But going there made him feel okay, because everyone else was also sick, without hope, so they would not stick out so much in the wider community. Everybody there had shame and disgrace. They could just be there. They could just hide there. Many times when we experience shame and disgrace in our lives, we begin to withdraw. We stop going out. We stop talking to our friends. We stop going to church. We start blaming other people. Everyone we can find, we try to shift our shame and our disgrace over to them. But staying like that also did not help anybody at that pool. And it will also not help us. It just made the pain and the shame and the hurting and the loneliness and the hopelessness, the disgrace, a little bit more bearable. Why? Because we are covering it up. It does not get removed. But then Jesus comes, seeking to replace shame and disgrace with his mercy and grace. And he does go straight to this man and ask him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to leave your shame and disgrace? But this man has been so caught up in his shame and disgrace that all he could see was the shame and disgrace. Shame and disgrace was like his favorite piece of clothing. That favorite jacket, that nice t-shirt that we always like to wear. It covers us up. It makes us feel comfortable. It made him feel secure. Maybe it even made him feel invisible. And he could hide his shame and his grace from everyone. But suddenly there was this man asking him if he want to change. I think it must have scared him out of his mind. And he answers, I have no one to help me to get in the pool. Maybe in his mind he was saying, well, just leave me. I like my shame and disgrace. I'm comfortable here. Just go away. What do you expect me to do? Don't you think that I would have done anything if I could already? Just leave me. My shame and disgrace is covering me, making me invisible from the eyes of the community. And then Jesus does the unthinkable. The unthinkable in the mind of this man. Jesus says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus actually says, give me your shame and disgrace. Here is my mercy and my grace. And the man was healed. Jesus did it. Not the water in the pool, not a friend or a family member who felt sorry for him. No, Jesus did it. This morning, are you full of shame and disgrace? Jesus wants to replace your shame and disgrace with his mercy and his grace. Those things has happened last year. Those things has happened previous years. Those things that you and I have become so good at burying, at making disappear, but still it's eating at us. Are you willing to allow him to do that? What are your situation this morning? What is that deep, dark secret that you are carrying today that no one else knows about? God is here. And he wants to replace your shame and disgrace. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? Maybe it's healing from a sickness. Or maybe it is that deep, dark monster of depression that has taken hold of you. Or maybe you have been raped and you've never told anybody. And you're carrying that shame and that disgrace with you for weeks and months and even years. Maybe your shame and disgrace is some kind of addiction. Maybe it's to food or to drugs or to pornography. Maybe you need emotional healing this morning, as you've been hurt so many times in the past by so many people. Maybe you're carrying the loss of a child. Even that abortion that you had that no one knows about. Or maybe your marriage is busy breaking up. What is your shame and disgrace this morning? You know, what is the name of shame and disgrace? And that you need freedom and victory over it? God wants to remove that. You can name it. You can name that shame and disgrace this morning. You know the name of it. God wants you to hand it to Him, because He wants to replace it with mercy and grace. No one else here or in the community might even know about it. It's that secret that's deep down, that's buried maybe so deep and so far already. But you know about it, and God knows about it. And maybe you think, if I should go out for prayer this morning, well, what are people going to think? Everybody thinks I'm fine. I'm in the house. I'm in the house with the other coins. No one knows about my hurt and my pain, my deep secrets. No one knows about it. What are people going to say? I want to say to you this morning, who cares about the other people this morning? It is between you, your shame and disgrace, and God and His mercy and His grace. Jesus cares about you. He wants to take your shame and disgrace and replace it with His mercy and His grace. The question today is, are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let go of your shame and disgrace? Are you willing to let go of that thing that has become actually so comfortable to you, like that piece of clothing that you like? Are you willing to say, Lord, this is who I really am. This is me with all my fear, my shame, my problems, my guilt, my disgrace. Please take it and give me your mercy and your grace. Lord, I need a miracle from you today. I ask you again, are you willing to come? Are you willing to come and to receive your miracle? It's the beginning of a new year. We are going to pray for you today, so that you can get victory. It is not something that happens like that. It's a process. But it can start today. Beginning of a new year. New possibilities. But we need to take this step first. We, you and me, can be set free of that shame and disgrace and receive a life overflowing with His mercy and His grace. The choice this morning is yours. I want us to just close our eyes and just become quiet before God and just allow His Spirit to just speak to you. Just allow His Spirit to speak to you. It can be painful maybe, because maybe you need this morning to allow His Holy Spirit to dig up that old graves. To dig up what has been buried so deep and so far. Those things that you didn't want to face, and that you were hoping and praying that you never will have to face again. And I want to tell you the good news this morning is that we don't need to face it. We just need to allow His Spirit to come and dig it up. And not cover it up anymore, but to remove it and take it far away and replace it with His mercy, His grace, His love, His joy. I want to ask you this morning to just stand with us. If you've got something that you want to say to God, God, here it is. Just take it. So I want to pray for you. So as a sign that you're saying this morning, Lord, my shame and disgrace, I've carried it too long. I've buried it too far. I want you to remove it. If you're saying that this morning, won't you just stand with me as we close in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for a new year. We thank you, Lord, that in this year we don't need to go forward in our own strength, but that we can move forward in the freedom that you have bought for us on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that we don't need to be ashamed, and that we don't need to carry those burdens of the past with us, but that we can, at the beginning of this year, just release them to you. We pray, Father God, that you will just help us as we do that, that you will set us free, and that you will move with us, and that your Spirit will continue to work in and through us. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.